Praise the Lord. It's good to see everyone today, and it's St. Patrick's Day, and St. Patrick, of course, was a tremendous saint and did a tremendous work of evangelism in Ireland, and there's a lot more to his story, believe me, but we're supposed to wear green, and so I wore green, and then because of my color difficulty, Cheryl reminded me, no, this is blue. So to cover myself, I have used a green marker in my Bible. Anyway, thank you for all of you that are bringing in the Easter eggs filled up. And, I'm sorry, I'm getting the signal. Young people, 7th through 12th grade, thank you for being in worship with us. You're dismissed to go to your class this morning. Matter of fact, let's give the young people a hand of appreciation this morning. Amen. Thank you. Anyway, thank you for bringing those in, and you can bring them in all week long or next Sunday as well. And we have our Easter egg hunt, our annual Easter egg hunt for the kids next week, Palm Sunday, at 11:30. It'll be right after the morning service. We'll be out at the on the back lawn and have a great little time for kids of all ages. So thank you for helping us bless the kids. And then, as part of Holy Week, we will have a Good Friday service here on Good Friday at 7 o'clock, a communion service commemorating the death of our Lord Jesus. And then on Easter morning, our Easter service will be at 10 o'clock. But if you are up early and would like to join us at Louisville Park for the community of churches that we have in this area, we'll be sponsoring a sunrise service from 7 to 7:45 at Louisville Park. A number of churches are sponsoring this event, and so you're invited to that. And we'll tell you more about that a little bit later. But it's great to be able to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
That he is alive. And that's one of our core beliefs. It is the most important event in the year for the Christian church, is the fact that Jesus is alive. And he sits at the right hand of God the Father, the Bible tells us, ever making intercession for us. And he's coming back again in power and great glory. Amen? Amen. He's coming back again. And we look forward to his soon coming, whether that's in my lifetime or not. We look forward to that. And it's all because he is alive and he loves us. And he's a God who invites us to come to him in prayer and ask him the things that that we need to present our needs to him. So anyway, and then if you've brought an offering, you'd like to bless the church with a tithe or an offering, we have an offering receptacle to my left and one in the foyer as well. And thank you for all of those who support the church with your tithe and offerings, whether through the mail or through Tithely, our online system, or bringing it to the house of the Lord. It's appreciated. All right, I'd like you to turn this morning, please, in your Bibles for the message to the 8th chapter of Luke, Luke chapter 8. And the verses will be on the screen, but if you've brought a Bible, I want to encourage you to use that as well, or a device that you have a Bible on. Luke chapter 8. This morning I want to talk about, the title of my message is The Other Side of Obedience. The Other Side of Obedience. I heard that phrase. And when I heard that phrase, I began to really think about that. The other side of obedience. And the person who made the statement, she actually was on the radio, that made the statement, was talking about her life before Jesus and how she accepted Christ, and that was her act of obedience, and then her life after she accepted Christ. So she was talking about the other side of obedience. And that just really stuck with me. I was on my way up to the church camp when I heard that. So I began to pray about that and felt the Lord lead me to do this message this morning. And so in Luke chapter 8, we start at verse 22. And there's a phrase here that matches the message title this morning. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. It says, "Now it happened on a certain day that he, Jesus, got into a boat with his disciples. And he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side of the lake.' And they launched out." The other side. Jesus wants to go to the other side because there is work to do. And Jesus, always obedient to his heavenly Father and his will, knew what was going to take place over there. And so the disciples assisted him in obedience they launched out. And I'm going to read more of this in just a moment. It goes on to verse 39, the story of the other side. But I want to talk about obedience for a moment. Now, if you've ever raised children, then you know you've probably used the word obey or obedience or something like that, right? And you've probably had your kids ignore you. But it was important. I don't know if that word is used much society much anymore, but we understand obedience. It's just a matter of someone tells us something and then we do that, however they tell us. And when we do that, that's obeying or obedience. And then I've heard parents say this. I think I've heard my kids say this to my grandkids. I think I've heard them say the phrase, "Thank you for obeying. Thank you for obeying me." And that's nice. Thank you for obeying me. And then I think I heard one time one of my older grandchildren, you know, we have 7, 3 older and 4 younger. It seems to me I heard the youngers one day, one of the older of the youngers say, "Thank you for obeying me," to one of the youngers. And so they learn what parents teach. Come on, amen? But obedience is a journey. It's not just a one-time act, but it's a journey. Because there's the pre-obedience. That's when we hear the direction. And then there's the act of obedience. And then there's the other side of obedience. Is what are the results of that obedience? And that's what this story is about. The story is about Jesus obeying his heavenly Father. And then as you get into the story, we sang about it earlier this morning, the fact that the demon powers obeyed Jesus, right? They obeyed Jesus. And so obedience is a journey. As a matter of fact, to the Roman church, Romans 16:19, you can look it up later if you'd like, Paul commends the Roman Christians in this way. He said, "Your obedience has become known to all." Says everyone knows about your obedience. And these were Roman Christians in the middle of a Roman society that didn't look too favorably on Christians or Jews. But he said, "Your obedience has become known to all." The Romans were famous for their obedience. In contrast to that, if you read the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, it appears the Corinthians had a real problem with obedience. Come on, right? A real problem with obedience. And Paul had to chastise, and he had to discipline, and he had to deal with them. But obedience is a journey. Once we make the decision to obey, then it becomes a journey, and that's the other side of obedience. So let's read on. Verse 23. They launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. This is Jesus. Very tired. He'd been ministering to a lot of people. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy or in danger. And this is common there in that area for windstorms to suddenly come real quickly, and it literally does come down, and any small vessel is going to be rocked and tossed to and fro. Verse 24, and they came to him and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." That's what they thought. They were going to die out here in this storm. Then Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. In other words, nature obeyed. Can you say that with me? Nature obeyed. Why did nature obey the voice of Jesus? It's because Jesus was the creator. Amen? He created nature. And so nature obeyed the voice of Creator God. And he said to them in verse 25, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be?" Evidently, some of them had yet to recognize that this Jesus was Messiah. "For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him." Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite of Galilee. Now, this is where their destination was. They were going to go to the area of the Gadarenes. And people didn't go to the Gadarenes much. It wasn't like a nice vacation spot. The Gadarenes was a very evil, wicked area, as we'll see in a moment. And when he stepped out on the land, verse 27, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time, and he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs or the cemetery. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out. He fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, and now this is not the man. The man's vocal cords are saying this. His lips are saying this. But it's the voice of the demon power that's within him. And I don't know where you stand on the belief of demons and evil spirits, but to me this is evidence that they do exist. And they're very powerful. They had completely taken over this man and actually was using his vocal capacities. And this is what they said to Jesus. "What have I to do with you, Jesus?" They recognized him. They knew immediately who he was. "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" They identified him because they knew him. "I beg you, do not torment me." Jesus was not there to torment the man. He was there to deliver the man. But he was there to deal with the demonic powers that held this man captive. "For he had commanded the unclean spirit," this is verse 29, "to come out of the man. For it had often seized him," these demonic powers, "and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles. And he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness." That's what the demon powers could do. They would give this man supernatural strength, extraordinary strength. He would break the chains and the shackles. That was the only way they knew how to deal with this man who was demonized. The only way they knew how, the Gadarenes, was to put him in chains and tie him up. But it didn't work. The powers that were in him, the evil powers, were so strong that he broke the shackles. And then Jesus asked him, verse 30, he said, "What is your name?" He's talking now to the demons. He said, "What is your name?" And the demons responded, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. We don't know how many, but there were many, many demons inside of this man. And they begged him, the demons begged him, verse 31, that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. They knew their final destination. The final destination of demon spirits and demon powers is the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. We know that from the book of Revelation. And they didn't want to go there before their time. So they begged him, verse 31, that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Now, it's interesting to me, Jesus is having this conversation with these demons, but they are inside this man. This poor man is struggling. In another version of the story, this man has been said to cut himself, to howl at night, to damage himself. It's wonderful in my mind to think Jesus, all the way across the lake on the other side, he could have ignored that man. It's just one man. Just one man. And maybe he was the cause of being demonized. But Jesus knew one man was worth his time and effort to go over and deliver him. Amen? How many believe Jesus feels like one person is worth it? Come on. Amen? You were worth it. I was worth it. We may not have been demonized, but we were worth it. And Jesus died for us. And if there was only one person, I've said it before, I'll say it again, that in this world that needed a Savior, Jesus cares so much about the one, he would have gone to the cross just for one person. Hallelujah. Just for you. And so Jesus cares about the one man. So Jesus takes the journey of obedience, obeys his heavenly Father, goes across the lake to deliver this man. Verse 32. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain. So they begged him, the demons, that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. This shows you how powerful these demonic powers were. They had possessed this one man. Verse 33. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, the pigs. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. That's how powerful these demon spirits were. When those who fed them saw what happened, they fled and told them in the city and the country. Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. How many can say, praise the Lord? He was completely delivered from these demonic powers. But the pigs were gone. The pigs had drowned. I'm just going to say it. Jesus cared more about the man than the pigs. Hello? No, I'm not even going into that about bacon and that stuff. They also who had seen it, verse 36, told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear, and he got into the boat and returned. Here is a man who's been demonized. He howls at night. He lives in the cemetery. He cuts himself regularly. He is totally demon-possessed. And they're afraid of him. They can't keep him in chains. But once he is delivered in his right mind with his clothes on, they ask the very person who delivered him to leave. Does that make any sense? You know why they ask him to leave? In another version it tells us, because they lost the pigs. Their pigs were their means of support. It was their job. They lost their pigs. Evidently they were afraid that Jesus was going to rid the whole country of the Gadarenes of all the pigs. They cared more for the pigs than they cared for the man. Come on. I think those people have got their priorities wrong. Come on. You say, but it's their job, it's their livelihood. Listen, Jesus wasn't there to get rid of the pigs out of the country. He was there to deliver a man. To bring him peace. And yet they couldn't see that. Verse 37. Then the whole multitude asked him to depart. Verse 38. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. Please stay. The demonized man who is now free, please stay. Don't leave. Don't leave. But Jesus sent him away. And this is what Jesus said to him. Verse 39. Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. Sir, you're free now. The shackles are gone. The chains are gone. Mission accomplished. I obeyed. I came, delivered you. Now I'm telling you, go tell everyone you see about what God's done for you. Now he has to decide, is he going to obey? And the other side of obedience is this. And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Hallelujah. He became an evangelist. He touched that city. And I'm sure there were pig farmers who hated him, but he didn't care. He was free. The demons were gone. And Jesus had done that. That was the other side of obedience. And now his other side of obedience is he has become an evangelist. He's touching lives. And we don't know how many people accepted Christ because of this man's witness. Isn't that the purpose of the gospel? Hallelujah. Isn't that the purpose of what Jesus does for us? Is to be able to, in obedience, see the other side of obedience. Okay, so that's the story. But now, before we obey, we need to hear. We need to know what we are obeying, what, you know, the directions. Before we obey, we need to hear. And before we hear, we need to put ourselves in a position to listen. We're talking about listening to God now, okay? We're talking about listening to God. So, we need to, before we can obey, we need to hear what God is saying to us, right? And so, how do we put our position, ourselves in a position to listen to the Lord? I'm going to give you a couple of things here that you probably know real well already, but let's go through them. How do we put ourselves in a position to hear what God is saying to us? Well, first and foremost is reading the Word of God, this right here. We believe that this is the inerrant Word of God. We believe this is how God speaks. There's other ways, but this is the main way God speaks, is through the Bible. So we read our Bibles. So we get ourselves reading the Word of God, and God can speak through His Word. How many know that, right? He speaks through His Word. We just read the story about this demonized man, and God can speak to us through that story. What is God speaking to you about that story? As I kind of recounted it, what it speaks to me is I hear God saying that He has more power than all the demons there are. Amen? He is more powerful than all the demon forces. I hear God saying to me that one man is worth the journey. It's worth the trip. One person is worth it all. I hear God saying that once He helps us, no matter what our condition, we're to go out and we're to share that with others. Anybody else hearing that? Right? So we can hear what God is saying right here. Now, once we hear what God is saying through His Word, then the decision is ours. Do we obey? All right? Do we obey? Love one another as I have loved you. Now we've heard that. Now we need to go out and do that. Amen? All right. So we go out and we love one another. We're obeying. So that's the other side of obedience. And there are certain things that happen once we obey. Second way of getting ourselves in a position to hear is through prayer. God can speak to us when we spend time in prayer. When we spend time talking to God. And prayer is not a complicated thing. Prayer is just simply talking to God. That's what it is. You can talk to your friends. You can talk to your family. You can talk, husbands and wives talk, friends talk. You can just talk to one another. And it's not a hard thing. I was watching the golf tournament. It ends today. And I, one of the leaders, I forget his name, but he was talking to his caddy. His caddy was his former coach in college. And they were talking. And as they were talking, they're communicating. And the caddy says to the golfer, he says, My opinion, I think you probably should take the 8-iron and give it a lot of face. You know, you golfers understand what he's saying. And the golfer, who is kind of leading the charge, he said, yeah, I think you're right. And so he took out the 8-iron and he went to the ball, addressed the ball, bang, phew, phew, pong, Boom. And I became envious and wished that I could golf like that, but I can't. But anyway, they were talking. Prayer is talking just like that caddy and that golfer were talking right there. We're talking to God. God, how should I handle this situation? How should I deal with this person that just rubs me the wrong way? And we hear the voice of the Lord, and God speaks to us. Maybe not in an audible voice. To some, I'm sure he does, but others, maybe it's a sense in our heart, our spirit, or our minds. We can hear him. And he says, like the caddy, well, if I were you, I'd take the 8-iron and hit him over the head with it. No. God wouldn't do that. But God will speak and say, you need to love him. And usually what God will say is, always what God will say will be backed up with his word. And maybe God will even speak a scripture that we've read before in the word. And then our decision is we're going to act on that. So see, prayer is not complicated. We complicate it, but it's not complicated. God just says, I want you to ask of me. Just talk to us. So you can talk to God just like I'm talking right now. You can talk to God, or you don't even have to say any words. You can just think it. Many times my prayers aren't outward like I'm talking, but they're talking to God, and I'm expressing to him the desires of my heart, etc. And God hears that. How many know God hears that, right? And so just talk to God, and God can speak to you. Now, it may take a few sessions, but God will speak to you, and he'll show you what to do. And then the decision is, all right, do we obey? The third way I believe that God can speak to us is through worship. And this is a very, very powerful way. And worship is not just the time we spend here at church for 15, 20 minutes singing songs and worshiping together. Worship is something, it's a lifestyle. It's something that we can do all the time. It's something we can do listening to, radio station 63.6 or whatever, 66 point, whatever it is I listen to. I can worship with that. I can worship just taking my walk. I can just live a life of worship. And it's amazing how God can speak, how God can speak. I was taking a walk the other day. And as I was walking, just trying to get in my minutes, I saw something, and I looked at it in nature, and I thought, well, that's an interesting thing. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me and said, that's what worship is. That's what worship is about. I could hear the voice of the Lord. I could just hear him say, that's part of what I am for is worship. And so, however we worship God, we can get ourselves in a position to hear. And once we hear the Lord, then we can act in obedience. And then the last thing that I want to mention is you can also hear the voice of the Lord through sermons just like this, which I have done before. I've listened to sermons, and the Lord has spoken to me and said, that's for you. That's for you. I want you to hear that. And maybe you're here today, and God is saying to you, maybe it's the first time in months, but maybe God is saying to you, that's what I want you to do. That's what I want you to do. And maybe he's speaking to you through the sermon. And God can also speak to us through counsel. As a friend counsels a friend, or as you're talking and you're asking advice of someone, a godly counselor, God can speak through them. And you can hear his voice. There's a number of ways. Maybe in a Bible study, God will speak to you. The subject comes up, and you can hear the Lord saying, this is for you. So there's a number of ways. The question is, are we listening? Are we listening? Are our ears and heart open to what the Lord is saying to us? And so if we'll get ourselves in a position to hear the voice of the Lord, then we can react by obedience. All right? Now, once we hear his voice, so what do we do? Once we hear God speak, what do we do? We obey. We obey. Once we hear his voice, then we obey. And it's a journey. And let there be no doubts that sometimes when we obey the Lord, the storms come up. Just like the story of Jesus, right? Guess who does not want us to obey? Yeah. The demons' powers who have this guy possessed. Satan doesn't want us to obey. Now, am I saying the storm came up because of Satan? No, I don't think so. But he'll certainly use that to persuade us not to go any further. Now, I'm not a boat guy. I've told you this before. I get seasick so easy. I mean, if I take a bath and lay down and it's too... I'm the worst, so I'm not a boat guy. I can do a canoe, I can... that kind of thing, but you get me out on a big lake and it's all over but the shouting, folks. And so I'm in the boat with Jesus and the storm comes up. I'm saying, I'm probably not in the boat with Jesus to start with. I'm probably on the shore going, bon voyage, whatever that French phrase means, that's not me, bye-bye. I'm probably not in the boat anyway. But if I'm in the boat and the storm comes and it starts rocking like this, okay, you get me back to shore or this is going to be a pretty stinky ride. I'll tell you that right now. Get me back, all right? But when we obey, sometimes storms do come to try to dissuade us from continuing the journey. But don't let those storms stop you from obeying and doing what God wants us to do. Because he has authority over those storms. Amen? He has authority over those. Just because something isn't easy doesn't mean it's not the will of the Lord. And so we need to remember that obedience is a journey. Some storms come up along the way. But we will eventually reach our destination, which Jesus did in the Gadarenes. We'll reach our destination. And so once we reach the destination of whatever that obedience is, then we can see the other side of obedience. The other side of obedience in the Jesus story we just read is victory for this man who was demonized and the evangelization of that area, that evil area of the Gadarenes, because of one man. What we see on the other side of obedience is demonic power is defeated. People are touched by the hand of God. And chains are broken. And the mission was accomplished. Hallelujah. That's the other side of obedience, is victory. Now, it may take a while. You've heard this story before, but some of you are newer with us. I'm going to just tell a little bit of this story because it was an act of obedience for Cheryl and I. When we were associate pastors in Coos Bay, Oregon, the Lord, we got this little card. This is how we used to know churches were available. We got this card in the mail from our superintendent, and it said, the Battleground Church, Pastor Eldred had retired and is available. So we got this card in the mail. And we were really happy doing what we were doing. We'd had our first church in Myrtle Point, and then we went back to Coos Bay as associates for 3 years. And we were happy. And God was blessing. Cheryl was teaching a junior girls class in a classroom that was no bigger from where I'm standing to that wall. And she had 35 to 40 junior girls in that room. Incredible. And doing a great work. As a matter of fact, a few years ago, one of those junior girls, now grown up, came to church here. And she is a worship leader at a church over in Gresham or Portland or someplace, and she just specifically came to thank Cheryl for her ministry in that classroom. And now she's married to a pastor and a worship leader. Praise the Lord. That's incredible. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. The lives that she touched in that little bitty room. Praise the Lord. And so we were happy there. But then we saw that card, and I took that card and I showed Cheryl and I said, Battleground. I have no idea where that is. That's a joke. And I just went about my day. But it stayed on the table. So every time I walked by the table, that card was speaking to me. Know what I'm saying? I'm not getting weird and funny.
Please go to Battleground.
No. That card was speaking, and I'd ignore it. I'd just ignore it. I'd walk by it, and I'd look at it and go, yeah, sure. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da. But finally, one day, I picked it up and went, No, it can't be. And then a friend who he was in the military, he had to be taken to Whidbey Island. He said, Ed, would you and Cheryl mind going with me and Deborah so we can go to Whidbey Island? I said, oh, sure, we'll go. So we loaded him up and headed toward Whidbey Island. And I heard the Lord say to me, go check out Battleground. I said, okay. So I got to it wasn't there then, but at the time, the 205-5 Junction, and I started looking, and I got lost. I ended up in Le Centre. And I said to Cheryl, if I can't find the place, there's no way God's calling me to the place, right? But in my heart, I'm feeling like God is calling us. But No. So on the way home, we passed by the same place where I started looking for Battleground. And in my heart, God was saying, you're going to go to Battleground. I said, no. So we get out just about to Wilsonville on 205. There wasn't an outlet mall then, but had there been, maybe it would have saved me from coming to Battleground. No, I'm kidding. I'm driving in the slow lane, and an old rusty pickup truck passes me, gets in my lane, and puts on his brakes. And I went, what in the world? And on his bumper is a sticker that says, where in the H is Battleground? And I looked at Cheryl and started to cry and said, that's what I'd like to know. So I'm crying, she's crying. So God speaks in a number of ways, right? I passed that guy, got away from him as fast as I could. We got back home. I talked to my pastor. He said, well, good luck there. You won't like it, but go ahead and apply if you want. Great encouragement. So I called our superintendent, sent him my letter. Long story short, we were accepted. That was 47 years ago today. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. The other side of obedience. God has done incredible things. It's not always been easy. We've had our struggles, our ups and our downs. But this is where God wanted us. Amen? And he didn't stop until we obeyed. In Philippians 2:8, and I'll close with this, the Bible says that Jesus became obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. He obeyed. He obeyed. In verses 9 through 11 of Philippians 2, it says that because of that, God gave him a name that was above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue would confess. That was the reward of obedience. And then in verses 12 through 16 of Philippians 2, he said, because of that, he says to the Philippians, because you've been obedient, you are now lights in the darkness of this world. Jesus obeyed, God gave him a name above every other name. And now the Philippian people were following that name. And they were seeing the results of their obedience. You see, it's better to obey than to sacrifice, the Old Testament tells us. And it may not be easy, but if we will follow the path of obedience, there will be a reward. There will be a blessing, whatever that is. And a lot of times it starts in the small things. God teaches us through the small little things of obedience. Maybe God will speak to us about giving of our finances. We read about tithing in the Bible and we wonder, how can I do that? How can I set aside 10% of my income for the work of the Lord through the church? And sometimes the Lord will say, well, just take a step of faith and obey. And that was the way it was with Cheryl and I. We started tithing when we were teenagers. And it wasn't very much. I made $1.25 when I worked out of high school. I was in the money. And so when I got that $100 check, $10 came out, went to the church. That was my tithe. $10 was supposed to go into a savings for a rainy day. And then for the other 80%, I could live on. And sometimes that's hard. But if you obey, there is a great reward of obedience, right? And same way with reading the Bible. I'm going to read the Bible. Okay. Where do I start? Well, probably wouldn't be good to start in the book of Revelation. But start in the book of John, the Gospel of John, and learn all you can about Jesus. And then you can go to Genesis. And if you can believe the first verse of Genesis, if you can believe that, you can believe anything else that's in this Bible. Come on, amen? And it's not easy, but if we obey and just read a little bit, you don't have to read volumes, just read a little bit. And then write down your questions and then give them to your Bible teacher or pastor or a friend. You know, why did he do this? Why did he do that? Why did he do that? That's how we learn, right? But just we step out in faith. Same way with prayer. I want to pray, so I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for an hour. So we find a place and we pray and then we prayed it all and we look at our watch and we've been praying 3 minutes. How many are with me? You understand what I'm saying? What in the world am I going to do? All right. Well, maybe, you know, an hour of prayer, that's a great aspiration, but maybe start a little smaller. You know, pray for 5 minutes. Pray for five. And then get your 3 minutes in, and then for 2 minutes, just say, thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, yeah, I forgot something. Okay, da, 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 da. Thank you, Jesus. And that 5 minutes will go so fast. Come on, right? And just build it up. But obey. Obey. God takes those small steps that we take in preparation for the big time. And then, by the time we came to Battleground, we had obeyed in a lot of little things. And then God was ready to hit us with the big one. Go to Battleground. Whoa, all right, we'll do it. And it's like the old song says, trust and obey, trust and obey. To be happy in Jesus, just trust and obey. Amen? And we'll walk with the Lord in the light of his word. What a joy he sheds on our way. So, the other side of obedience, what is it? It's knowing we've done the will of the Lord. And the other side of obedience will be rewards, but also happiness and joy in our hearts. Amen. So, for what it's worth, there's the message. Hopefully it's been something to give you to think about. And so, Lord, we conclude the service with this prayer, that you would help us to be people of obedience. I know it's not always easy. I'll be the first to attest to that. And yet, Lord, obedience is the best way. And help us to be obedient in the small things. And then when the bigger things come, it'll be easier to do that. So for whatever reason you wanted this message preached, it may just be one person today. Maybe someone watching online today. Or maybe someone in 6 months will pull up this sermon online and it'll mean something to them. I don't know that. All I know is that I've just been obedient to speak what you've told me to speak. And I ask you to just help each of us to be obedient servants of the Lord. And I know there will be a reward at the end. And you will receive the glory. Bless this beautiful afternoon. Lord, thank you for this gorgeous day. And whatever our plans are, some might have to work, others might have it off, some might have a family gathering. But whatever, Lord, help us to enjoy this day and let nature itself speak out to us of the greatness of our God. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's thank him for his word today. Amen. 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 All right, you're dismissed. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. Thanks for coming to church today. And if not before, we'll see you next Sunday in God's house.